Basically, I was asked to talk about avoiding avoiding discriminatory discipline. So I have like an 8-hour speech, and I'm going to do it in 30 minutes. So I'm going to be talking really fast. But let me start with just talking about, unless you're a pirate, basically we're all kind of the same person. Those of you who know me know that my husband and I adopted biracial babies. Back when they were babies, they are now young adults. And when you talk about discrimination, I just want to tell you a real quick, very short story of my daughter, Chrissy. She's working a second job as a waitress right now. And a young man one of the young men she was serving one evening came to her and said, "You know, you're really pretty for a black girl." In what universe is that a compliment? So what was Chrissy's response? Well, I will tell you in 30 minutes. All right, so let's talk about how to keep you in the room. All right, so let's talk about discrimination laws, because no matter what happens with Sheriff 3040, whatever he is, the law is the law, and the law is still going to be the law. So we have the Equal Protection Clause, and we have the Due Process Clause, and those do come into play when you're talking about discriminatory discipline. I'm going to go quickly through these because I have more important things to talk about. But Title VI of the Civil Rights Act prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, or national origin. Then there's Section 1983, which we see come up in these cases a lot. It is not a source of substantive rights, but it is a vehicle in order to get to court when a policymaker makes a decision under color of law that creates a deprivation of rights. We have the Americans with Disabilities Act, which prohibits exclusions. Think about disciplinary exclusions on the basis of disability.